as the Pavehawk settled onto the runway beside the president's plane. Rachel now understood the references to Air Force One being the commander-in-chief's portable home-court advantage. The machine was an intimidating sight. When the president flew to other countries to meet heads of state, he often requested, for security purposes, that the meeting take place on the runway aboard his jet. Although some of the motives were security, certainly another incentive was to gain a negotiating edge through raw intimidation. A visit to Air Force One was far more intimidating than any trip to the White House. The 6-foot-high letters along the fuselage trumpeted United States of America. A female English cabinet member had once accused President Nixon of waving his manhood in her face when he asked her to join him aboard Air Force One. Later, the crew jokingly nicknamed the plane Big Dick. "Miss Sexton?" A blazer-clad Secret Serviceman materialized outside the chopper and opened the door for her. "The president is waiting for you." Rachel got out of the chopper and gazed up the steep gangway at the bulging hull. Into the flying phallus. She had once heard the flying Oval Office had over 4,000 square feet of interior floor space, including 4 separate private sleeping quarters, berths for a 26-member flight crew, and 2 galleys capable of providing food for 50 people. Climbing the stairway, Rachel felt the Secret Serviceman on her heels, urging her upward. High above, the cabin door stood open like a tiny puncture wound on the side of a gargantuan silver whale. She moved toward the darkened entryway and felt her confidence starting to ebb. "Easy, Rachel. It's just a plane." On the landing, the Secret Serviceman politely took her arm and guided her into a surprisingly narrow corridor. They turned right, walked a short distance, and emerged into a luxurious and spacious cabin. Rachel immediately recognized it from photographs. "Wait here," the serviceman said, and he disappeared. Rachel stood alone in Air Force One's famous wood-paneled forecabin. This was the room used for meetings, entertaining dignitaries, and apparently for scaring the hell out of first-time passengers. The room spanned the entire width of the plane, as did its thick tan carpeting. The furnishings were impeccable. Cordovan leather armchairs around a bird's-eye maple meeting table, burnished brass floor lamps beside a continental sofa, and hand-etched crystal glassware on a mahogany wet bar. Supposedly, Boeing designers had carefully laid out this forecabin to provide passengers with a sense of order mixed with tranquility. Tranquility, however, was the last thing Rachel Sexton was feeling at the moment. The only thing she could think of was the number of world leaders who had sat in this very room and made decisions that shaped the world. Everything about this room said power, from the faint aroma of fine pipe tobacco to the ubiquitous presidential seal. The eagle clasping the arrows and olive branches was embroidered on throw pillows, carved into the ice bucket, and even printed on the cork coasters on the bar. Rachel picked up a coaster and examined it. "Stealing souvenirs already?" a deep voice asked behind her. Startled, Rachel wheeled, dropping the coaster on the floor. She knelt awkwardly to retrieve it. As she grasped the coaster, she turned to see the President of the United States gazing down at her with an amused grin.
"I'm not royalty, Miss Sexton. There's really no need to kneel."